Amen. Christ is among us. Yes, a couple of people are wondering, do we still say that greeting? And yes, in the Melkite tradition, we have two greetings. Christ is among us and Christ is risen. So we say Christ is among us until Paschal, until after the Paschal liturgy. And we say that until just before Pentecost, I think. In the bridegroom service last night, we heard the words, quote, "Wherefore, O Christ God, who are anointed with spiritual myrrh, free us from our many passions and have mercy upon us. For you alone are good and the lover of mankind." End of quote. The church, therefore, last night, commemorating the Lord's own anointing, has found it in her wisdom that the faithful, too, during this week may experience the anointing. Thus, on this evening of Great and Holy Wednesday, the day when, in the tradition, this anonymous woman went and anointed the feet of Christ, today, the church now is celebrating the mystery of anointing for her faithful. The mystery, or the sacrament, brings healing to the mind, to the body, and to the soul. It brings also, if you listen to the prayers, forgiveness. And it also brings real and true physical healing. The oldest reference to this mystery of anointing, we heard it in the first epistle, comes from the letter of St. James, probably written sometime between AD 45 and AD 50. So this is going all the way back to the time of the apostles. And we heard St. James write these words, quote, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders, presbyters, what we know now today as priests, of the church, and let those priests pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And prayer of faith, the faith of the church, will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if that person has committed any sins, his sins will be forgiven them." End of quote. So we see how the church has always understood the anointing also brings forgiveness of sins. Tonight, the faithful, all of us, assemble to pray, to hear the scriptures, and to be anointed with holy oil. The three key words that permeated the various readings from the epistles and from the gospels proclaimed or spoke about oil, spoke about mercy, and spoke about healing. Oil, mercy, and healing. Now, while the prayer and the ritual of anointing remind you and me, or they do remind you and me, of an intimate union of body and soul, and that this anointing is bringing a healing to both through the power of Jesus the Christ. But let's not forget, as we heard in the different gospel passages, anytime the Lord brought healing to somebody, he began the healing with the announcement of forgiveness. And he always ended the healing with an instruction: go and sin no more. One of the stikra in the first canon that we heard tonight captures this. Many of them did, but one of them in particular, quote, "The whole earth is full of your mercy, O Master. Wherefore we pray you to be merciful to us who shall be anointed with your holy oil." End of quote. The association of oil with mercy, forgiveness. The hymns and the prayers this evening express what? If you took them, if you're praying them expressing really what's in our soul, and the groaning of the Holy Spirit in our souls. It's a profound yearning, above all, for spiritual healing. We call that metanoia, repentance. The ultimate healing, the ultimate spiritual healing is conversion, a turning away from that which is not of God. The metanoia, repentance, conversion, call it what you may, it all means the same thing. And throughout the season of Great Lent, it consumed our body and soul. And it found its expressions in various forms of physical and spiritual fasting. Both physical and spiritual fasting. The church, therefore, finds it most fitting that forgiveness should also be conveyed in a very physical and tangible way. And that's what the anointing is all about. It's a physical, tangible experience of God's healing power that includes not only physical healing, but spiritual healing, a forgiveness of sins. So just as our Lord's body was anointed, as we recall last night at the bridegroom service, in preparation for his own passion and burial, tonight, our anointing is a preparation for our own spiritual ascent toward Calvary and the burial of our own passions. All of Great Lent was this preparation to get to this point where we are now ascending with our Lord in a spiritual way up Calvary to bury our passions, the disordered loves in our lives. Let us not, though, forget that the Lord's forgiveness, and the forgiveness that you and I will experience tonight with the anointing, must always include his final instruction. Go and sin no more. Having received the gift of forgiveness, may our response be that of like Zacchaeus, that like St. Paul, that like the anonymous woman last night who broke the alabaster jar over the feet of our Lord, one of tremendous gratitude. Gratitude to the boundless mercy of Almighty God. And may gratitude move you and me to want to sin no more. See, the one who's filled with God, when you've confessed your sins and you experience mercy, there's no room for discouragement, despair, and sadness, and the woe is me, and the self-pitying. That's all self-indulgence. It's all about me. If you've truly been touched by the mercy of God, and the Spirit is dwelling within you, you'll be filled with divine joy. That's one of the signs of authentic true repentance. You've truly turned your life to Christ because he's taken it all away, all the burdens, all the pains, all the shame. When you've experienced that, you've begun to actually walk the new life. May the experience of God's bountiful mercy soften your heart and fill you with gratitude. And then you'll find it very easy to forgive your neighbor as you forgive yourself. There's a reason why the church calls this oil the oil of gladness. A final quote from one of our hymns tonight. Grant, O Christ, the joy of gladness to all who receive the anointing with your oil, the oil of gladness. Grant it to these men and women who are seeking your abundant mercy. Christ is among us.